Thank you. Thank you, Jack, again.
Thanks for the day.
You know, I need to say this. You guys are a great group. I mean that sincerely. I have the opportunity to travel around somewhat from time to time. And don't take for granted what the Lord is doing at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, because it's special. I say that because I've sat here this morning through the services, and the things that are taking place in this body and taking place through this body, it's pretty phenomenal. It reminds me of Jesus loving to hang out at a house there in Bethany. It was the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And a few days before Jesus would die on Calvary's cross, he made his way to Bethany, to that house that he loved to be at. And there in the gospel story, we read that Jesus was sitting there in that house, and Martha was serving, cooking, working in the kitchen. Previously, a year before, when Jesus had been in the same place, Martha was complaining about the fact that she was cooking and Mary was just sitting there at the feet of Jesus, listening to what Jesus was saying. Master, tell my sister to come and help me. Oh, Martha, Jesus said. Hey, Mary's chosen this important part, the better part. You see, this time now, a year later, once again, Jesus is in the house again. Whole group is with him. Martha's still serving, but now she's not complaining. She's just serving, cooking away, doing her thing. Mary, her sister, is once again at the feet of Jesus. This time, she's anointing the feet of Jesus with perfume, ointment, that was worth a year's salary. Just giving that kind of expensive, expensive worship to the Lord. And the fragrance filled the room. And there also in the room, not just Mary who was there worshiping and Martha who was there working, but Lazarus was also there. He had just been resurrected from the dead, called out of the tomb when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus, as most of you know, came forth. I don't know who came first, second, or third, but Lazarus came forth. He came out. And now he is sitting there in the house. And people were coming from everywhere just to look at him and look on him. He was a witness of the resurrected power of Jesus. Now, I say all that to say this. Why did Jesus love being in that house? Because Mary was taking care, if you would, of his spiritual needs. Sitting at his feet, pouring out praise, loving through worship. Mary was taking care of the spiritual needs of the body of Christ. Martha was taking care of the physical needs, the practical needs of the body of Christ. She was cooking a meal for him. And when you have a house, whether it's in Bethany or Chino Hills, where you have both worship ascending and the word being heard, along with work being done practically, whether it's getting Bibles in public schools or helping people to be able to speak truth on television, whether it's golf tournaments or mission trips, whatever it might be, when you have this combination of Mary's ministering to Jesus mystically, spiritually, and Martha's serving Jesus practically, impactingly, What happens when you have the two that are functioning, as I have heard today, through the announcements, being with you, talking to guys and gals from here? What happens is dead brothers come back to life. Lazaruses come forth. Lazaruses come out. Lazaruses come up. Lazaruses get saved from death. And what I'm getting at is, I know some churches that are really strong in the word, in worship, in prayer, in praise. Wonderful. I know other churches that are real activists, doing what needs to be done in a community for a country to take care of those practical needs of people and the nation, you see. That's wonderful too. But at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, you've got it both. And that's an amazing thing that you need to know is very rare. And you ought to be extremely thankful for people like Jack and like the team around him. It's a real gift that God has given to you. It really is. Listen, folks, I'm not flattering. I fear God too much for that. I'm just saying what's happening here is something which is special and wonderful, and you need to know the enemy is going to want to undo this. So what do? Pray. Pray, pray, pray for Jack. He needs your prayers. Pray, pray, pray for this church. This church needs your prayers. Pray, pray, pray that God's grace will continue to be poured out, that this will be a house that Jesus loves to hang out in, like he loved to be in Bethany, that he might say, oh, I got to be a lot of places on Sunday, but where I like to be is Calvary Chino Hills. Because they minister to me mystically and they minister for me practically, and I bring dead guys back to life in that community, you see. God bless Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. God bless Jack Hibbs and the team around him. God bless you. That's not my sermon. Let's stand. Would you stand with me before I get into the word with you? And I'm going to have to be very brief because I've taken a long time with this, but I felt the Lord speaking to my heart as I sat there, just hearing the announcements again and watching the opportunities once more, that this place is a very special place. And I'm just so glad to be able to remind you of what you know to be true. Father, bless Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. The missions work. The pro-life emphasis. Standing with Israel. Causing your word to get out into the communities and schools in this region. So many things are happening, Lord. So many things you're stirring up. So many things you're doing in this place. I give you thanks for that. And may this be a church that continues, Lord, to practically do what is your desire and will to get done in this nation, in this community, in this congregation. And Father, for the way your word is taught and the way worship is expressed and the way prayers are offered. Lord, I thank you for that. May this congregation never grow weary of, like Mary, just sitting at your feet, taking in the word, bowing before your feet and pouring out praise. And may the fragrance, Father, of Jesus just fill this place like it filled that home in Bethany that day. And Father, may many people from this region be brought to life, be set free, be unwound, unbound from the grave clothes that perhaps are restricting them presently. Bless Calvary Chapel. Bless these folks. Bless Pastor Jack and his family. Keep using him. Keep him strong in his faith. Give him insights from your word. Give him a tender heart towards you, Lord, increasingly day by day. So I commit this congregation to you. And now, Lord, as we think through a bit of scripture, I pray that you would just give us hearts that would receive and ears to hear. And may these folks, Father, just grow in grace because of this time we share today. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' glory exclusively, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Plop down and turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. I won't be long. I've already been long, so I won't be long. Each service today, I sat over there and I'm just sort of sitting there worshiping with you and wondering what I should share on for that service. And for this service, this is the passage that came to mind that I feel like the Lord may want to give to some of you specifically in this service today. Verse 38 of Matthew chapter 12. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But Jesus answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, Jesus said, a greater than Jonah is here. Interesting. I believe the Holy Spirit was whispering in my ear, stirring in my soul, the fact that there's some people here that feel as though I don't have a clue about what is going on in my life. What God is up to, if he cares at all. You might say, my, oh my, I feel as though I'm completely, totally in the dark. I've wondered about this, I've prayed about that, but I just don't seem to be getting any direction. Any answers. I'm in the dark. I'm in a tight spot. I feel cramped, enclosed, claustrophobic in the place that I'm now in. It's very, very cramped. It's totally dark. I just don't know what's going on, what I'm supposed to do. And frankly, I think quite honestly, that God, I know he loves me theologically, theoretically, but I just can't experience that love in my situation. I don't feel his presence in this situation. And I don't blame him. I am such a jerk, you might say, or we might feel. I got just the guy that can relate to you. He's the one talked about in our text today. Oh my, he has a whale of a story. You know who I'm alluding to. You know who I'm talking about. Jonah! And talk about being in the dark. Being in a tight spot. Feeling as though he has been forsaken by God, and frankly, he deserved to be. Jonah! You know his story. God told the prophet Jonah to go to Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, and tell them that judgment was going to come in 40 days. Jonah, he hated the Assyrians. He hated the men of Nineveh. You got to understand, the Assyrians were brutal and cruel beyond comparison to any other culture in history. They were the ones that developed the skill, the Assyrians, the men of Nineveh. They were the ones that developed the skill of skinning a person alive. in such a way that a person could remain alive for several hours without his skin before he died. They were the ones that would take their enemies of areas they conquered and stick literally a large spear up their backside and out the top of their head and plant them shish kebab-like around the city walls that they conquered so that people would realize you don't mess with the Assyrians. When you saw those enemies of the Assyrians with a spear coming out of their heads, people got the point, believe you me. They knew you don't mess with the Assyrians. They were the ones, the Assyrians, who would take their enemies that they conquered, chop off their heads, and pile their skulls into pyramids in front of the city gates of the cities they conquered, 15 feet high upon occasion. My, oh my. Again, people got the point. If you mess with the Assyrians, you're not going to stay ahead. You're going to lose your head. And Jonah was a guy that knew these Assyrians, the men of Nineveh, they're threatening our nation Israel. They're cruel. They're brutal. They're awful. I am not going to go preach in Nineveh or share at Nineveh. No way. So he got on a boat. You know the story. And he went to Tarshish. He left Joppa, the seacoast city of Israel, and went to Tarshish, the opposite direction of Nineveh. Why to Tarshish? Because Tarshish was sort of the Las Vegas of its day. Tarshish is where peacocks and apes came from that Solomon brought over for his palace and all the rest. It was sort of the center of peacocks, apes, you know, MTV. It was all that stuff. And so Jonah thought, I'm going to go to Tarshish because what happens in Tarshish stays in Tarshish. So off he went. He got on the boat and he sails off and he goes to Tarshish. Well, God sent a storm. And the storm caused the sailors in that boat, man, to be freaked out. They tried to bring stability to the boat, but were unable. And they finally said, what's the problem? We've got to figure this out. So they cast lots or drew straws, and Jonah got the short straw. And they said to him, who are you? It seems as though providence is pointing to you that you're the problem. And Jonah said, aye, aye, it's true. It's me. Throw me overboard and you'll have a calm, peaceful sea. They didn't want to. They tried to stabilize the boat and steer the ship some more. But finally, in desperation, they went ahead and tossed Jonah overboard. Now, God, as you know, had prepared a great fish, a whale. And the whale came and swallowed Jonah up. Jonah, in writing about that in Jonah chapter 2, now he's in the whale, he's alive. And he thinks, I am in hell. I am in Sheol, he says. I'm in hell itself, and I deserve to be, Jonah would say, no doubt. I've disobeyed God. I've run away from what he's called me to do, what he's told me to do. I've gone in the opposite direction. And now, talk about feeling cramped. He's in the belly of a whale. Men have survived being in the belly of a whale, but that's for another time when I have more time. But he is in the belly of a whale, cramped. It's pitch black, so black he can't even see the hand in front of his face. He's in the dark. It's cramped and claustrophobic. Fish come down the chute, pop him in the face. Seaweed, he says in Jonah 2, wrapped around his head. Man, he couldn't think straight, getting slapped around in the dark, going nowhere. He thought. In fact, he felt as though I'm in hell itself. Even though Jonah thought, I'm in hell, and I deserve to be. I'm in the dark. I'm cramped. It's hot. 98.6 degrees, if it was a whale, literally. It's hot. I'm sweating. I can't see. I'm cramped. I'm miserable. Nothing's happening. And I deserve for nothing to be happening. Because I am disobedient. I am unfaithful. I am rebellious. But listen to this. Listen to this. All the while, Jonah was in the dark. All the while, Jonah didn't have a clue, was cramped, being slapped around, seaweed around his head, in hell, and I deserve to be. All the while he didn't think anything was happening, for those 3 days, the whale was moving. He didn't understand, but the whale was moving according to God's ultimate perfect plan. Jonah thought, nothing's going on. I'm in the dark. It's hot. I'm cramped. God's given up on me. I don't blame him a bit. But God would say, oh, you might be in the dark. And God might say to you, I know you feel like nothing's going on. I know you feel like you're in a tight spot. I know you feel like nothing is happening, but what you need to know, God would say to some in this congregation in this hour, I'm in control. And the whale is moving. Even though you can't sense it, even though you don't see it, even though it's hard for you to believe because you think you're in hell, God would say, the whale is moving. My will is in play. Well, the whale was moving. Where? Closer and closer to where Jonah ultimately needed to be. Suddenly, the whale, after 3 days and three nights, has the urge to regurge. And suddenly, the whale, right there by the beach closest to Nineveh, suddenly the whale, perhaps making its way up the Euphrates, who knows? But the whale suddenly barfs out Jonah. Jonah is, now check this out. Jonah is barfed out by the whale. He comes out. Can you imagine what those on the shore, what those on the beach must be thinking? Because the Assyrians, like the Philistines, they worshiped a god called Dagon. So what? Here's what. Dagon is half fish and half man. Now suppose you're a Dagon worshiper. And you're there on the shore, you're surfing, you're suntanning, whatever it might be. And suddenly a fish barfs out a man. And you're a worshiper of Dagon. You would look and say, Dagon it. Wow, my, oh my. Not only was a man coming out of the fish, but listen to this. Jonah, because he was in the belly of the whale, it would have caused the gastric juices to be dripping on him, so much so that his skin would have been bleached totally white. His hair, all of his hair, would completely disappear, as would his clothing. So now you're this guy on the beach, and you worship Dagon, and suddenly a fish comes up, bleh, out comes a man, a bleached, white, naked albino. And he comes out smelling like whale barf with no clothes on and no hair anywhere and bleached white. And he says, judgment in 40 days. Judgment in 40 days. Judgment, guess what? The city heard that and they all repented. They all Now, Jonah didn't say repent. He just said judgment in 40 days. Judgment. But the people thought, maybe if we do repent, maybe God will have mercy. And the greatest revival in world history took place by a guy through a guy who was disobedient, going in the wrong direction, didn't want to go in the first place, but God would say, I've got a plan for you. And even though you're going to think you're in hell, you're going to think I deserve to be, you're going to think I'm clueless, I'm in the dark, it's cramped, nothing's happening, and it never will for me. God says in his word that even when we are faithless, he is faithful still, because the Bible says he cannot what? Deny himself. We're fickle. We get mad. We go up and down. All God is faithful. And he says to you, if you know him, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, even though you might be faithless, foolish, and fickle, God says, I am faithful to you, and I will cause all things to work together for the good. To those who love me, to those who are the called, and that's you, and that's me, according to his purpose. What? It means even if you've been off the wall, out to lunch, not doing very well, God says, I'm still going to use that. I'm still going to get you where you need to be. You might come out a hairless, naked albino, but I am going to work on you and work in you and work through you and work with you to get you to the place where Jesus would say in Matthew 12, one sign I'll give to you. You want to know who I am? He reaches back to the story of Jonah. He's not ashamed of Jonah, not embarrassed about Jonah, not saying, let's forget Jonah. He says, as a matter of fact, Jonah is the one sign that I'm going to give to you. Even as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so will I be 3 days and three nights in the grave. God used Jonah's story as the ultimate illustration of what he, in and through his son, would do to prove and claim and verify and validate that he, Jesus, is who he claimed to be. So what are you saying, John? I'm almost through. Just this. I don't care whether you've been red hot, on fire, radical, or whether you've been sort of cold and sort of lukewarm and sort of disobedient and unfaithful, God's got his hand on you. God's got a plan for you. And even when I drop the ball and mess up and horribly fail, God says, I'm going to even use that bleaching, those gastric juices, that nakedness, all of it is going to be used in the way that only I can do to bring people to me. And I'm going to get you, Johnny, Jonah, Julie, Jack, Jerry, whoever you might be. I'm going to get you ultimately where you need to be. Well, you say, if that's the truth, then I'll just be disobedient, rebellious, go to Las Vegas, Tarshish, whatever it might be. I'll just... Great. But you're going to have a whale of a time. God's still going to win. But you're going to find yourself kind of going through some tough things that you could have avoided. He's still going to have his way. He's sovereign. He's your father. He's our Abba. But let me give you a little tip. Hey, there's a better way. Say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? and say, Lord, I want to go your way. Get me there the best way. I would rather go on a cruise ship than in the belly of a whale. You'll get me there either way, but let me recommend to you highly God's perfect plan. But God will use everything. And for you, this is the word of the Lord, I believe, for some that are in here third service today. For you that feel like I've just rebelled too long, I've been too bad, I'm in a tight spot, God certainly has given up on me, I'm here to tell you, thus saith the Lord, He has not given up a whit. He is having His way. He'll turn it around. What Satan means for evil, God will turn for good. And even though you're sensing nothing's happening, the relationship is going nowhere, the job is dead end, my finances are tight and cramped, God would say to you, that's what you think. The whale is moving. The whale is moving. And in due season, you're going to be barfed out on the beach, right where you need to be. And it's going to be a proof to the Ninevites, the Assyrians, the people in Chino Hills, even the people in West Covina. It's going to be a sign to everybody that I, Jesus, would say, am risen from the dead, that I am real, that I died for your sins, whatever they are or might be. And I've paid the price, and I've taken the hit, and I've risen from the dead, and I have forgiven you of your sin. Your sin is washed away, and my hand is on you, my spirit is with you, and lo, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the Lord that we serve. Let me tell you something. The whale is moving. The whale is moving. The whale is moving. I know you can't see it. You may not believe it. But the whale is moving. And you're going to be barfed out before you know it. You watch. You wait. You'll see. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Testing 1, 2. Okay, I'm gonna need you to sit still for a minute. John has got to get to the airport in what would be miraculous time. So quickly does he need to leave that Pastor George turned his car around and pointed it for him to head out. And so we'll stall you here for half a minute, I guess, so he can, in a cloud of dust, get to the airport. But listen, with what John was saying before we wrap this up, maybe what he was telling you about today is something that has led you to consider, to think about how you would like to have this amazing God in your own life personally. All the three services this morning, and I know how the Lord works. What you don't know is that when John got here this morning, this is so John. When he got here this morning, you know, the video people are saying, what's the title of your message and what's the verse? He said, you'll have to listen and figure it out because I don't know yet. And so first service was one message. And then second service was a completely different message. And of course, third service was altogether its unique message also. So what we'll be doing today is posting all three messages up on the web. But with all of them, no matter what, all of them all the way through, it's culminated in this. Do you personally know Jesus in your own life? Has that made a difference in your world? And so today, before we end, I want to give just a moment of opportunity for you to say yes to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you're very religious, but you're very empty inside. Maybe you're here and you've gone through all of the church stuff. You know, you've gone through the baptisms, you've gone through the communions, you've gone through all the stuff. and you've learned so much, but you still don't know if you die today, you'd go to heaven. The Bible says that these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. And so John's 100% passion this morning in his teaching was to get the believer to rest in the power of God and to have you, what we would say lovingly, the unbeliever. That is, you're not trusting Jesus today, but you need to do that. I want to give you the chance right now to do that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I'll look across the sanctuary. Nobody else needs to know. But you'll have the chance today to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not by how many goosebumps you have. It's not by how much money you give. It's not by what you've done in life. It's whom do you know? And do you know him? That he died on the cross, Jesus did, and rose again from the grave. As Jonah was spit out by the great fish, the earth spit out Jesus on Sunday morning. Jesus himself said that Jonah's ministry was a type or symbol of his own. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe this morning you would say, Pastor Jack, I want Jesus. I want this God I heard about today in this message to come into my life. If that's you today, while I look across this room, I will not do anything to you. I will not embarrass you. I will not call you forward or to jump up. Just put your hand up, because everyone Jesus called, he called publicly. And this is public enough. I'm looking across this room and I'll see your hand. Put your hand up if you know today that you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. God bless you to my right. You right here. A couple of you right here, right up front. God bless you. To my left, God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. There's several hands in the back to my left. Over here to my right, another hand. Anyone else at this last moment? There's almost, yeah, God bless you. There's almost like a little storm. There's a tornado. God bless you. Going on inside. And you know you should do this. You're kind of scared, but you know you need to do it. God bless you. My goodness, right here too. Awesome. Over here to my, way in the back to my left. Up front here to my left. Gotcha. Awesome. I see a little hand. Is that a little hand? I see that little hand. Church, before we pray, let's all stand together. Those of you who've raised your hands, pray this prayer, would you? Church, come on, let's stand. Let's bow our heads and let's pray this prayer. Those of you who've raised your hands, say this. Dear Lord, come into my life and rescue me from my sins. I cannot save myself. And so, Lord, I look to you. Save me now. I believe in you, Jesus, that you died and rose again from the grave. And I accept you today. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.